You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to Edge Rush, featuring professional sports bettors, TA from Cleve Analytics, and Hitman, presented by the Hammer Betting Network. My name is Eric Pauly. I'm your host, and we have made it. Week 18 of the National Football League season. Of course, playoffs coming up, a lot of exciting things, but we got to play this last week. Some huge games for some postseason spots on the line. Some other games that they're playing just to play. We'll see a lot of backups and whatnot, but for starters, TA, how are you? Happy New Year. How was your week last week?
Yeah, Happy New Year to both you guys. No, it was okay. It wasn't great. I did hit a long shot. It's probably my third time I've hit this. I do like these weekly specials, like most receiving yards or most rushing yards, and I had Mike Evans at 32-1. So that was a nice hit. But on sides and totals, about 500. I look really dumb. I said last week I might look really dumb with this Texans bet, and that I sure enough looked really, really stupid. Completely demolished. Hitman definitely got me on that one. I hate backing the Texans when they just don't show up. It was just so ugly. So had that ugly one, hit my Browns, but it was so weak. And obviously all the stuff what happened on Monday night with Denar Hamlin is just really, really rough. It's just kind of sobered people up to the NFL, and sounds like he's getting better, which is always great. We're praying for him, so hope things keep improving, and week 18 goes off without a hitch. But I can't believe we got to the final week of the regular season. It's pretty quick season for us.
Yeah, that season has flown by so far, and like you just mentioned there, TA, prayers out from everybody at the Hammer Betting Network for Damar Hamlin, his family. Obviously, terrible scene Monday night, and all we can do is hope and pray for good news in the upcoming days. Hitman, how are you? Happy New Year. How was your week 17?
It was good. It's funny, TA mentioned that the Texans-Jags game, and anytime I'm wrong on a line move, I'm not thrilled. Like, I don't care that they won by whatever they won by, but that line was 3 after the podcast, and I was saying how I like Jacksonville -4.5. So, I'm never really thrilled to be that off on a line move, and typically those don't work out for me. But every now and then it does. But with that said, yeah, with the Hamlin stuff, it's good to see that even though there's a lot of toxic culture on places like social media and everything, when something like that happens, people can get together and do some good with all the charity stuff and all that. So we're hoping for the best result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's hop into week 18. But right before we do hop into week 18, just want to remind everybody that over on YouTube, you can look up Hammer HQ YouTube channel. We have shows for every NFL primetime game. We have a show leading up to it, as well as a halftime show. We also have some college football shows that, as we know, the season coming down to the national championship. We got Andrew Walker and Joey Knish breaking that down. On Sundays, we have Rob Pizzola and Fabian Sommer. And on Mondays, Rob is back with Eric Eager for more NFL content. So if you like what you hear, we appreciate all the support. Go over to our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, leave a like also on the podcast and any videos we have there as well. We truly appreciate it. And you can find us on Twitter at the Hammer HQ. Let's get into week 18. So right now I'll be going over these games by rotation number and not by time played. So there are going to be some instances where some of these games might be played out after or before that will then directly impact some other teams that are on the cusp of the playoffs or on the cusp of not making the playoffs. So we'll dive into that. And the first game, Saturday night, Tennessee Titans heading to Jacksonville with the AFC South crown on the line. Pretty simple right there for the South perspective. Jaguars win, they're in. Titans win, they're in, taking over that 4 seed in the AFC. Right now, the Jaguars are sitting at 6-point favorites. It opened at 6.5, so a slight little drop in that total. Opened at 38.5, and is now sitting at 40, so a little bit of upward movement there. We'll start with you here, TA. Titans-Jaguars, who's winning the AFC South?
I think we all want Jaguars to win. I think just for pure entertainment purposes, because obviously nice young quarterback and Trevor Lawrence, kind of up and coming team. I think the Jags are a good story to root for. So I think from a pure and just in the playoffs, you know, who knows if Ryan Tannehill will be back. So if the Titans snuck in, you know, they're definitely going to be one and done, whereas the Jags at least can compete. So I think from a pure viewership, you know, you'd want to see the Jags here win. But, you know, from a line perspective, if you recall, I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago, both me and Hitman were heavy on the Jags getting 3.5, 4 points in Tennessee. So, you know, clearly we thought from a matchup perspective, the Jags were a good matchup. And, you know, with Josh Dobbs at quarterback, this line all the way up to 6. I personally don't have a huge side here. I mean, I can see using the Jags in a money line piece of a parlay. You could see them, you know, maybe pairing them up with some other teams that, you know, are 6-7 point favorites. Not necessarily worth the teaser leg, but I think, you know, from a money line parlay perspective, it might be worth it. I think the Jags win. It'd be hard for me to see Josh Dobbs, who played okay last week. He can make some plays. They get, you know, it's one of those things where you get we've talked about this. You get a backup with essentially no film on him. You know, he starts off, you know, with a decent outing, looks pretty good. And then once you get some film on him the next week or the couple weeks after, they really struggle. So, you know, I can see that happening here, especially on the road. I mean, talking about a lot of pressure. His second career start is going to be, you know, fighting for a playoff berth. So it's hard for me to see the Titans win. I think that, you know, with Derrick Henry, who's historically done really well against the Jags, he had over 100 yards. I think in the first half last game, broke off a huge run before the Titans kind of got blown out by the Jags. A lot of turnovers. So I could see them kind of really rely on Henry and him kind of control this game. But I think in the end, the Jags are the better team. So I think from a money line perspective, it might be worth the hit. But nothing. I think the line is a little bit too high for me to lay it with the Jags. So nothing there for me.
I totally get that. And despite all the issues the Titans have with injuries and straight up lack of talent, you know, Mike Vrabel's going to have them excited for this winning in game. But with Josh Dobbs at quarterback, it's tough to tell or say with any confidence that the Titans are going to pull off an upset or even that cover that number of 6. But Hitman, would you agree with TA that you kind of got to look toward Jags money line, better team here, or how are you viewing this one?
I don't got much from a side and total perspective. I made the game around what it is. I will say that I agree with TA about the Dobbs thing. Like, he could come in for 1 week and look a certain way, but the more film you get on these quarterbacks, typically they end up showing why they were third stringers and not even on the roster, but as of like 3 weeks ago or something. So maybe gun to head, lean to Jacksonville. And from a prop perspective, I'll say this. Everybody knows against the Titans, as far as other opposing teams know, that you got to throw against them. And they're going to stop the run. They're getting a lot of guys back this week, especially on the defensive line, I believe. So to me, I mean, it makes sense that Trevor Lawrence is going to throw the ball a lot. And he tore this team up through the air the last time they played. So could be looking at some potential overs involving Lawrence or some of the Jacksonville receivers prop-wise in this game. But side and total, don't got much.
Well, also with that, I mean, the Titans or the Jags are, at least in, you know, my metrics, last in yards per target allowed to tight ends. They don't allow a lot of targets, but when they do, they're big plays, especially over the middle of the field. But you know, what's the tight end for the Titans? Okonkwo, he's a big play. He's a big play tight end, so he could get a couple, you know, chunk
plays. Yeah, he actually had a really good game against them when they played earlier in the season, and Hooper actually had like 5 for 55 also that game. So yeah, definitely a good matchup against the for the tight ends. Of the Titans. The only caution that I would give with Okonkwo is that when Treylon Burks has been on the field this year, he's played a lot less. I don't know the reason behind that. I know Okonkwo is known as a guy that makes like mistakes, and Hooper is the guy that like Mike Vrabel trusts more to make the right blocks, to make the run the right routes, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that would be the only thing that I would say against Okonkwo. But as far as a matchup goes, it's definitely a good matchup for their tight ends.
Very interesting stuff right there. A lot to consider for that game with the AFC South crown and the number four seed in the AFC playoff picture on the line in Jacksonville on Saturday night.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Moving on to the other Saturday game on the slate. This is a game that is important for seeding in the AFC as the Kansas City Chiefs look to lock in the number one seed. They were beaten by the Bills and the Bengals earlier this year, so obviously we don't know what's going to happen with that Week 17 matchup, but not as much leeway for the Chiefs in this game. And they go and take on the Las Vegas Raiders, who Jarrett Stidham came in, replaced Derek Carr. People were speculating, oh, maybe the locker room won't support this decision, this and that. But based on the play on the field, I don't think there's any merit to any of that because Stidham came in and did very well against the best defense in the NFL. But back to TA's point before, now maybe there's some film on him, some understanding of what he does. So we shall see how that turns out. Right now, the Chiefs are laying 9.5 in Las Vegas. The total open 52, sitting 52.5 now. We'll go back to you, Hitman. Chiefs Raiders, what do you see in this game?
You know, it was a weird line move earlier when the Raiders opened 9.5 the Chiefs opened -9.5 and the line went down to 7.5. And that was after the Monday night game where the probability of the Chiefs getting home field, but also just, you know, the Chiefs are going to play starters now, it solidified it. So it was a weird line move. And now you have seen the game get bet back up to 9.5. If you didn't get any teasers when it was 7.5, I'm still not opposed to a 7-point teaser with the Chiefs. And you could try to find another team to pair them with. But I'll say this. If I am going to play Kansas City, I much prefer them in a teaser. And it's because the Kansas City defense and just the way they've been playing against these inferior opponents are keeping every game close. They kept Houston in the game. They kept Denver in the game. So I like Kansas City. I'd like to find a way to get involved with them. But if I do get involved with them, it would be in a teaser because I just can't trust them to win by margin against an inferior team at the moment with how they've been playing the past few weeks against some of these teams.
Yeah, I totally understand that. With the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously they have their times of dominance, but also throughout games they have some times of stagnation where they kind of just forget how to move the ball for whatever reason. T.I., talk to me. Chiefs, Raiders, you thinking about anything here?
I don't. I mean, I would lean Raiders because I think Stidham played really well last week. And I don't think it was necessarily a total fluke. I mean, you got to remember the guy was the number one college recruit coming out his senior year in high school. Guy had a great arm at Baylor and at Auburn. Like it was one of those guys that everybody touted as like the mid-round prospect that could flourish. And, you know, he hasn't really done anything in the NFL, but you know, he obviously knows the McDaniels system pretty well from the New England days. And I thought he did a really good job being aggressive down the field. And, you know, whenever you got Devontae Adams and Waller and Renfro, like you just get those guys the ball, throw it up to them, you know, they can make plays. So I think they're going to keep it competitive. I mean, the Raiders defense stinks, but, you know, they do bring it on the road or at home compared to on the road. So if I had to lean one way, I don't have a play on this right now, but I would lean Raiders. I will say from a prop perspective, and I hope Hitman doesn't kill me for taking any of his, because I know he's the prop guy. But Jerick McKinnon receiving props to me would be where I would focus. My focus here this week from a prop perspective. I mean, the Raiders really struggle defending running backs out of the backfield, and you know McKinnon's just been on a complete roll. I mean, his last four games, he's got 112, 70, 31, and 52 yards through the air. I mean, he's been a real weapon as kind of the outlet guy for Mahomes, and he can break off some big receptions. So that's a guy I would look for. I mean, my numbers are pretty astronomical. I don't even know what his prop will be. But, you know, if you can get – if it's anything under, you know, 50 yards, I think it's definitely worth a look. But that's, you know, I would say Raiders and then maybe, you know, McKinnon props are the two areas I would look for here.
Definitely understandable. Shout out to all the people who won their fantasy football championships because of Jerick McKinnon's late season outburst. He's been a really key piece to the Chiefs team. And again, must win game for the Chiefs in terms of seeding. Raiders, unfortunately, their vacation starts after Saturday. Moving on to the Sunday slate. Again, we're going by rotation numbers, so we're going to try our best to kind of piece together the playoff picture here. Starting with the Seattle Seahawks hosting the Los Angeles Rams. Seahawks, they need to win this football game. But unfortunately for them, I mean, good for them. They beat the Lions earlier this season, so they would have that step up. So truly a huge matchup for the Seahawks. They open as 6.5-point favorites and sitting right there at that number. Total open 42 and has ticked down to 41.5, 41. So not too much movement in that situation.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Talk to me, TA. Seahawks hosting the Rams. Do you think the Rams play some division spoiler? Because I saw your tweet about those teams that are not in the playoff conversation going against teams that are needing a win to make the playoffs over the last 2 weeks of the season are hitting like 30-something percent against the spread, which is obviously abysmal and supports taking the team that's out. So, TA, is this a situation where you're looking at that here, or how are you viewing Seahawks-Rams?
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. This is a bullseye from a trend that I know I don't play it blind by any means, and we could talk about the, you know, on the field. But yeah, so my database that goes back over 20 years, the final 2 weeks of a season, if you have a team that needs to win or is eliminated, so it's very specific. So you have to win or you're out. It's not one of those where you can lose and get some help. It's win or you're out versus a team that has no playoff hopes. The team that is kind of winner or out is 37% against the spread, 57 and 95 over the last 20 plus years. And so the Rams clearly fit this here, but, and it makes sense. You know, people wonder what, why the general public will want to back the teams that need to win. And it's like, well, you know, these teams play hard anyway. It's not like the extra motivation to win is really necessarily a good thing. It's actually more pressure on those teams to win. They get tight, they make more mistakes. The other team's playing loose, they have nothing to lose. You know, they can run fake punts and do all sorts of things to kind of spoil the season. You get typical, you know, artificially, you know, inflated lines to the teams that need to win. So where, you know, maybe an extra point or two, and that's the difference sometimes between covering and not covering. So all those things kind of lend itself to the team that's out of the playoffs, you know, covering here. And then you look at the number. I mean, I've got it at, you know, you can get a cheaper seven, not cheaper, but a seven at, you know, like a 120 range, I think is a good number for the Rams. You know, they're going to want to play spoiler. They have no first round pick. So, you know, there's no sort of tanking involved here. They're going to play all their guys. You know, Sean McVay is going to want to win this game. It's a division rival. They just played a couple of weeks ago and the Rams, you know, easily the Rams are winning until the last couple minutes of that game. And Seattle needed a last minute drive just to win. And that was with John Walford. I mean, that line was 6.5 in LA with John Walford. Baker Mayfield, you know, not a star, but he's better than Walford. He's at least proven himself. So you're essentially getting, even though you're flipping home field, essentially getting the same line. So, you know, there's a little bit of line value there. I make the number just pure number 5.5. But then when you include the fact that this is a, you know, again, a must win, and I like the pressure. I like going against the pressure of a Seahawks team that needs to win. I don't mind it. The thing with Baker Mayfield that I like from a matchup perspective is, you know, against that vaunted Broncos defense a couple of weeks ago, he really attacked on those bootlegs, those play actions to the running backs and to Tyler Higbee a lot. And that's where Seattle struggles the most. They're actually really good defending receivers. Where they struggle is defending tight ends and running backs. I think they're 31st or 32nd in yards per target to both tight ends and running backs. So, you know, that's an area that I think Baker and this offense can exploit. And then I think the Rams defense is playing hard. They haven't given up. And I know that Jalen Ramsey and DK Metcalf have this kind of rivalry. So he's going to, you know, Ramsey's definitely going to play hard. I just think in a division game like this, Seattle is not, you know, they played well last week, but even then, you know, only could score with 20 points. They weren't really dominant. I, I think the Rams are the right side here. So I'm okay with that. At if you can get like minus 120-ish, I think you're okay.
Yeah, gotcha. And Baker Mayfield himself playing for a contract. Of course, he was let go by the Panthers, picked up by the Rams. Some good moments, some bad moments. Still Baker Mayfield, but a lot on the line, not necessarily, again, for seeding or draft picks or whatnot, but just for pride in this game. Hitman, how are you viewing this from a side total or even a prop perspective? Seahawks hosting the Rams.
I couldn't agree more with TA about a lot of times these teams that you're like, oh, they have to win. They just get overvalued in the market, and that's why they haven't fared as well against the spread. I mean, just look at the look ahead on this game. It was Seattle -3. And to be honest, I thought that number was cheap, and I played Seattle -3. But what has really changed to move this line 4 points other than the narrative now out that Seattle needs a win? The Rams, yeah, they underperformed to expectation, and the Seahawks overperformed to expectation against the Jets, but not enough to warrant this much of a line move. So I completely agree with TA that a lot of times when these type of games happen, when these lines come out, you want to let the public and the general, the square bettors, they're going to bet on the team that's just has to win. And a lot of times you're going to get extra value from that. So although this game in particular, like, I haven't bet the Rams, that's the direction I would lean towards. And I completely endorse TA saying that he looks to play against a lot of these teams in must win spots.
Yeah, certainly. I would like to see that broken down, TA, into divisional rivals as well. I'm sure those numbers would be interesting as well. And they clearly are interesting in the first place, considering that 37% covers. But like you both mentioned, the market definitely overvaluing some of these teams and the public wanting to hop on that train and thinking, you know, they got to win, they're going to go win.
Well,
it's not Cinderella. Yeah.
And we saw it last year. Remember that Colts-Jags game? Colts needed to win to get into the playoffs. They were favored. I think the line, it was crazy. The line was like 16. It was some completely, utterly, ridiculously inflated line. And the Jags just destroyed them and won outright. And that was, you know, that was just like a perfect example. And I know the Colts don't play well in Jacksonville, but they were laying more than 14 points on the road and lost outright. So these things can happen. So, it's not just necessarily if you need to win, you're going to win. It doesn't always pan out that way.
Definitely not. And I remember, I think it was Kirk Cousins last year in Washington. They just needed to beat the Giants in a meaningless game to make the playoffs. And I remember we lost outright, of course. But moving on to an NFC matchup, the Philadelphia Eagles, they need a win because they need the one seed. They're coming off back-to-back losses. The New York Football Giants, they did it. They made the postseason coming off a tumultuous last couple of years. But Brian Daboll has done a great job with his roster. And now Philly will be playing all their starters while the Giants will be having their backups going and getting ready for the playoffs next weekend. Philly sitting 14-point favorites now. Again, they will have their starters out. Not sure about Jalen Hurts, of course, but that'd be Gardner Minshew. Lane Johnson, that injury has been gigantic. But this total has actually gone up from 41 to about 42.5, 43 now. We'll go to you, Hitman. Eagles-Giants, what are you viewing here?
You know, there's a theory out there about this game that, oh, maybe the Giants are going to look to play guys. And the reason being is that you have organizational history that the Giants have. They played under Tom Coughlin. They won the Super Bowl, all that stuff going around. And then you have the Eagles tanked against the Redskins a few years ago. And it cost the Giants a playoff spot. And there was talk about, oh, well, you know, the Giants, maybe they'll play their guys to try to get revenge and cost the Eagles the one seed based off of what happened a few years ago. Do I buy it? I mean, Brian Daboll's come out and said, hey, we're going to do what's best for the New York Giants in this matchup. I mean, I know he said that, oh, we can rest after the season on this game. So that maybe gives you some pause that maybe the Giants do play starters. Basically, you know, it's a long, long way for me to announce that I don't know what the Giants do. Gun to head, I think they sit guys. The market's thinking that they sit guys. But it's just a game that, you know, I could give you any handicap in the world right now. But what's going to determine if it's a good bet or not is if the Giants are playing starters. So just stay on top of that news is the best advice I could give. And also stay on top. It's not a lock that Hurts plays in this game. I mean, I think he will. I would bet that he would, but it's not a lock either. So there's just a lot of just keep up with the news on this game.
Yeah, another interesting thing to think about Jalen Hurts. I mean, right now he is probable to play, but if he did not play this week and they still win and they get the bye, that'd be like 4 to 5 weeks of Hurts not even stepping on the field before the divisional round. So not sure if that's even the best case scenario. I don't want any rust in the postseason. But TA, talk to me, Eagles, Giants. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, it's too many points to for me to lay, and I'm definitely not taking the Giants here because I agree. Yeah, I don't think they're going to play their starters. But yeah, you know, Tyrod Taylor is a professional quarterback, so of all the backups you could put in there in a meaningless game, you know, he's a good one. So you know that gives me a little pause. And back in the Eagles, to me, I'm going to assume Hurts plays. If I play this game, I would look to the Eagles team total over. They have a huge advantage, from an offensive and defensive perspective. I know they don't have Lane Johnson, but, you know, you're talking about a Giants team that's dead last in explosive runs allowed, 29th in adjusted line yards. You know, they got absolutely shredded. And this is I had Miles Sanders. I talked about the Mike Evans wager that I won last week. I had Miles Sanders in this week when they played the Giants a couple of weeks ago to lead the NFL in rushing, and he did. It was like 16-1. He just absolutely shredded them, over 8 yards per carry for the Eagles as a team. So, you know, and even if Hurts doesn't play, I mean, they can run the ball right down their throats, and you're going to be doing it against backups too. I just think, I mean, look, they scored 48 points on the Giants, with their first team a couple of weeks ago. I don't think, you know, the line is that – I mean, I wouldn't lay it, but I don't think it's that egregious considering it was 7 in New York a couple of weeks ago and they absolutely, you know, destroyed them. Like, even if you flip for home field, it's not impossible to get to 14. I don't think it's like, oh, boy, this is just this line is just, you know, completely off. So, like I said, if it's 13.5, I would lean to the Eagles. At 14, I won't touch it, but I think the team total – for Philly could be interesting here. And I haven't fired on it or anything because I do want confirmation of Hurts. But I mean, I think anything under 30 could be pretty interesting from that perspective. And they're not going to take their foot off the gas. So that's how I would look.
Yeah, certainly understand that. So like Hitman said, keep your eyes peeled on the Giants situation with their starters. Personally, I don't think that's a great play to play the starters because one injury, you don't want to risk that. You literally just made the playoffs for the first time in a couple of seasons. But to each their own, we'll see what happens in Philadelphia this weekend. Moving on to an interesting game. So another one, if I'm not mistaken, T.I., this one fits the criteria as well. The Miami Dolphins hosting the New York Jets. New York Jets officially eliminated due to that loss to Seattle last week. And the Dolphins, they're still alive in the situation, and getting a win would be huge for them. I might be mistaken because I think the Patriots do have the tiebreaker, but if I am wrong, then that does fit that criteria. But we're talking about a spread with definitely pricing in Skylar Thompson even over to Teddy Bridgewater or Tua Tagovailoa, as Miami opened as 2-point favorites, and now it's sitting at New York -1, -1.5. Total open 39 and has dropped to 38, 38.5, so nothing too crazy there. But T.A., Dolphins, Jets, how are you viewing this one?
Yeah, I mean, technically it does fit that criteria, but again, like I said, with any trend you look at, I don't personally take any of these things blindly, and the reason is because there are very, very specific circumstances, and one is, this line opened at 4, or at least that was a look ahead. I think it may have opened to 3.
It opened 3.5 was available at some point after the week. Yeah, it wasn't up long. I think 3 lasted until Monday morning. So
right. So we're already seeing a 4.5 point, reversal. So again, part of the theory with these teams that need to win versus teams are out of it is it's inflated lines. But here we got the opposite. So I'm not on it. I just have no idea what the Jets are going to do after, that was really, soul crushing the last couple of weeks to not win one of those games between the Lions, Jags, and, and last week it was a complete dud in Seattle. Mike White looked terrible. Maybe it's his ribs. He was afraid to get hit, it looked like. So that worries me from, even if it is Skylar Thompson, like, I don't know. I mean, do I trust Mike White right now with that injury and the way he played last week? I mean, he was really inaccurate. They couldn't do anything on offense, and the defense didn't look great either. They may be completely deflated here. So, It's a stay away for me. I don't love really either side here. You can make the case for, you know, for fading both teams, to be honest. So, you know, this is not one that I'm looking to. If you got the plus, I mean, the best bet is to get the plus 3 or 3.5 when it opened. That's what, you know, kind of anticipating the fact that Teddy may not play was really the ideal situation. At this point, it's too late. Like, you can't lay it with the Jets, in my opinion. So nothing for me here.
Fully understand that. Hitman, Jets, Dolphins. How are you viewing this one?
TA did a good job of explaining how we just mentioned that when a line's inflated on a must-win team, you want to typically fade that, but the line's not inflated. Maybe the line was inflated at the opener, which 3.5, 3 was ridiculous in this game. But now the line's moved to the point that I could probably only look Miami. And also, one thing about this game is TA mentioned, like, oh, the Jets got to be just really upset about the fact they haven't won. Like, they've lost, what was it, 5 straight games they've lost? Or 4 straight?
Yeah.
When they had a chance at the playoffs. And funny enough, I bet the Jets under 7.5 wins at -240 on an alternate line. And one, it was mispriced to begin with. They weren't pricing it to what an alternate line should be. And I bet it after the Zach Wilson injury, which, you know, in retrospect, it's like, well, that was probably an upgrade for the Jets that Zach Wilson got hurt. But at the time, you didn't know that it was. And I bet that. And I remember the person that bet it with me, he already marked it as a loss in our sheet that we go over together. And now,
nice reverse jinx by him. That was a nice reverse jinx.
Scrambling to find, like, all right, what was the exact amount? And what math do I need to change up with our balance and everything? Because somehow this has legs, and you talk about the Jets are deflated. I'm going to be the one that's deflated now that I have hope that, oh my God, the Jets are going to lose 5, 6 straight games to end the year, and I win this bet miraculously. So, you know, I'm a big Dolphins fan this week. I'll put it like that. But if I did have to lean towards this game objectively, I think with the line move that's happened, that the only way you could play it is Miami.
Yeah, totally understood there. Great points about, again, sometimes in these situations, or most of the time, the lines are inflated. But this is a situation where it's not. It was not anymore. That value is kind of gone. So definitely looking like a more of a stay away, if anything. But headed to actually what's going to be happening on Sunday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers will be hosting the Detroit Lions. This is an interesting scenario, considering that there is a chance that this is a win-in game. There's also a chance that, depending on what happens earlier on the Sunday slate, that one of these teams will have absolutely nothing to play for. So definitely a lot to keep in consideration when looking at this matchup and how the Sunday slate actually ends up breaking down. But right now, the Packers are 4.5-point favorites against the Lions at home, with a total sitting at 49. And that's where it opened. That's where it's sitting. Talk to me, Hitman. What do you think about the scenario in terms of how the NFL kind of made this schedule? And what do you think about this game, considering there's a lot of factors that yet to be played out for how this matchup will break down?
I'm going to tell you how I would play this game personally. If I like the Lions, do not play the Lions unless you know what the result is with the Seattle game. Now, why is that? I don't think it's going to make a difference as far as who they're going to play. I think Campbell's going to play his guys to win. But the market is going to go up. This line is going to move, and Detroit's going to – who knows what it gets to. It could get to Detroit plus 6.5 or something. And if you like the Lions, play them at that number. And I might like the Lions at that number, and it might be a bet of mine. But do not bet it at 4.5 because of the strong possibility that this line – will go up, and then you could be the judge if the line move is warranted. But I remember the game, TA, that I think about is, remember, it was last year. It was in Big Ben's final game
against the Browns.
Yeah, and the line moved from like 6 points off of the Browns getting eliminated from playoff contention the day before, because it was a Monday night game and they got eliminated from playoff contention on a Sunday, and it moved 6 points. And it's not going to be that egregious in this, but the line is going to move. So if you like Detroit, wait for it. And then if the Rams, win, Detroit has a shot at the playoffs, maybe you see the line go down to 4, 3.5. I mean, Green Bay just closed -3, -120 against a Minnesota team that's pretty similar to Detroit. So wait to see the results of this Rams-Seahawks game is my best advice on this game.
Absolutely. A lot at stake for these teams. And like you said, a lot to be determined. So before you make any wagers, keep an eye on what's actually going on there. Hitman, you agree with TA? That's the only way to go about this, or even from like a prop perspective to start now. Is there anything you're looking at here, TA?
Yeah, I got that flipped. I agree totally. I don't have a play on this, but I would wait for Detroit. Like you said, what's the worst case? Okay, let's say Seattle loses. I doubt this gets to 3. I think it's probably 3.5. So you're getting good value anyway. It's not like it's going to cross through a key number. So, but if they lose, yeah, I think this line would close at 6. If Detroit doesn't have anything to play for, and think about it, it's a Sunday night game, last game of the regular season. Every average Joe is going to be hammering the Packers to win, right? If that's the case, yep. So this thing's going to be inflated. So just wait, just you know, what's the difference if it goes to 3.5 if they win, right? Just we'd rather wait and get the 6. So that's what I would do. I completely agree. And I think the Lions would be a good player. You know, I always love to look at the weather with Jared Goff outdoors. It's not going to be that bad. It's kind of low 30s. I don't think it's going to snow or anything. So I think from that perspective, it's manageable. It's not like some heavy, you know, heavy snow in single digits. So shouldn't be a major issue. You can move the ball in this Packers team. You know, and the funny thing is, as you mentioned, like Detroit was, what did they close at home against Minnesota a few weeks, 2 weeks ago? Wasn't it like, was it 2.5 or was it 3?
It was like 2. I think it was 2.5.
Okay. So essentially they're saying those teams are even. So yeah, if, you know, if you can get 6, the motivation, I can't believe would be worth that much. And you know, they're going to play hard either way. And then, you know, the other way, yeah, it'll probably close 3.5 if you know, the Lions do have a shot. So I think you're okay. Just sitting back and waiting.
Yes, certainly understood that. Makes a ton of sense there. Could certainly make for fireworks for a Sunday night football game, but also, who knows, could be a situation where there's not much at stake here. Moving on to another matchup, again, one that fits the trend that we outlined. Again, never blindly betting trends, but it does help put things into perspective and give some context surrounding what's going on, especially in those last 2 weeks of the regular season. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are hosting the Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh needs to win this football game. Cleveland already eliminated, but just based off what we saw last week, it looked like Deshaun Watson was getting a little bit more comfortable in this offense. So ideally with the Browns, they're going to continue to have him out there and try to do his best so they have a better understanding of what they need to do next season. But this is a line that opened at Steelers -3 and has gone down to Pittsburgh -2.5. Total open 39, slightly up to 40.5. TA, your Browns beat the crap out of my Commanders last week, like we both called and both profited on. It's all right. I'm not salty, but talk to me. Browns Steelers, how are you viewing this one?
Yeah, I'm already on the Browns at +3. I got them at, I think, at -120. And in a low total game, I think it's a really good number. I personally make this Pittsburgh -1. I think when you include, again, the pressure to win, you've got Kenny Pickett, a rookie, who's playing better. He's not, you know, not a star, but he's playing better. You know, that's a lot of pressure on a rookie to not only win, but to win by margin, win by at least 3. I, you know, a team that doesn't score a lot of points. I mean, their last couple of wins, they've got they're 5-1 in the last 6 games. And see, all but one, actually, they all came by one score. But all but 2 came by 3 points or less. So, you know, they win tight games. It's low scoring. It's kind of typical Steelers grind them out game. So I think the 3's got a lot of value. My guess is this thing will continue to trickle down, before we get to the game. But, you know, as we saw, we talked about it last week. One of my reasons I like the Browns with the Deshaun Watson discussion is, you know, everybody was pinging him for not playing well, and they're just like completely ignoring the fact that he was playing in the worst weather conditions we had ever seen, literally had ever seen. the prior week against New Orleans, and then two weeks prior against one of the top five defense in the NFL in Baltimore. You know, they won a game. They won by double digits, and you know that was in snow in single digits. So he hasn't, you know, he didn't really get a chance to play in normal weather conditions, and so especially a guy who's coming from a dome, he's typically a dome quarterback. You know, that's tough. So now it looks like Pittsburgh weather is not going to be too bad, so he'll be okay. You know, the Steelers defense is solid, but it's not like you can't move the ball in them. And they've played a stretch of some bad offenses. They played Tyler Huntley twice, Sam Darnold,
Mariota.
Was it Mariota who played? It was Mariota who played. Wasn't Ritter yet? You know, they played Matt Ryan. You know, they gave up 37 to Joe Burrow. And then before that, they played Andy Dalton. Before that, they gave up 35 to Jalen Hurts. So they really haven't played a lot of, they played the Raiders, Derek Carr obviously getting benched. And that was in, single digits at night, a game that they're not used to. So, they really haven't faced the toughest of offenses and quarterbacks. So I think this would be a better test. Deshaun Watson struggled in the first half. He really lit it up in the second half, played really well. And I think he's getting more comfortable as the season's gone on. So I think it's going to be a really fun game. I think it's going to be really tight. And the other issue is if either the Patriots or the Dolphins are winning, that's another factor. Maybe the Steelers see that. Maybe one of them are up big and, they kind of let their foot off the gas, or maybe they just have they get deflated a little bit and don't play as hard in the second half. You never know. That's talking about asymmetrical risk. Like you could only get less motivation, not better, right, during the game. So I think the Browns are motivated. They don't have a first round pick, so it doesn't matter. They're not going to tank. All their guys are playing. I mean, we saw Jadeveon Clowney was coming back from concussion. He started last week. If they were seriously sitting guys out, if it was business decisions, he wouldn't have played. That's a guy that normally wouldn't play a game like that. So you could tell they're playing hard. So I think they want to end the season right. So I think the Browns are the right side here.
Totally feel that. Hitman, do you agree? You lean Browns, or how do you view in Steelers Browns?
Thought about betting the Browns, giving them out, but it did just get bet from the 3 to 2.5. I'm not going to take it at 2.5, but maybe I look at Cleveland in a teaser. That was the direction that I was looking at in this game. So that's all I could really add to TA's breakdown.
Totally understand that. Cleveland Browns, again, now dropped to 2.5-point favorites. So it fit that advantage teaser criteria. So definitely a teaser leg to keep in consideration for this weekend. Going to a game means absolutely nothing. Indianapolis Colts hosting the Houston Texans.
We got
to
talk about this one.
We do not. We can just go quick thoughts. It's Colts right now, -2.5, -3, total 38, open, sitting 38. TA, talk to me. Any thoughts, comments, concerns quickly?
I don't want Scott Hansen on Red Zone to even bring this game up. I don't care how many, there's no fantasy players. I mean, fantasy doesn't matter anymore. There's no way you could have anybody in DFS for either side. So, there is no reason to go to this game. Two teams that are tanking. Just no opinion at all. I will say I was looking just for fun. I was looking at some of the final weeks of the season in my database just to see different buckets of scenarios, how teams play, these final games between two teams that are under 500. So two bad teams have nothing to play for. In the low total games, the favorite has been hitting at a 70% clip, which is, in the last 20 years, which is I don't know if it's random, but that was just something that was interesting. So maybe for pick 'em pools, take the Colts. But, the Texans don't want to lose, or they don't want to win with the Bears, breathing down their necks for the number one pick. So, that's a scenario where, instead of flipping a coin, just take the team that could get the number one, could lose out a number one pick. So, if you have to for pick 'em pools and stuff, take the Colts. But otherwise, I don't want to see this game anywhere on my TV.
Yeah, Jeff Saturday going for that full-time coaching gig. That's probably the biggest story in Indianapolis. But talk to me, Hitman. Anything props maybe? Sneaky props here? Or how are you viewing Colts-Texans?
Some sharp guys that I work with were telling me that they really liked Houston plus three. We got to bet Houston plus three. And I just vetoed it. And I said, you know what? No, I'm not doing it. Houston, I mean, it just makes logical sense that you want to lose the game. Of course, the players aren't going to try to lose the game or anything. But, I mean, if I'm Houston, I don't play Brandon Cooks in this game. I play Kyle Allen maybe at quarterback in this game. I mean, think about how far it sets your franchise back potentially if you win this game. Just ask the Jets. Yeah, congrats, Jets. You beat the Raiders in that on that they lost. The Jets won, I remember, a meaningless game at some point.
I think it was against the Rams, and that was the Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, congrats. You beat the Rams as 17-point underdogs, and now you got Zach Wilson instead of Trevor Lawrence. Good job, guys. So I can't play. My lean was towards Houston, especially at three or if it gets to three, but I'm not betting it.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Robert Saleh, the Jets coach, is saying Zach Wilson's still the guy, but as we all know, he's not. And the Houston Texans do not want to get themselves into a similar type situation. So a game that does not deserve any of your seconds wasted watching that football game on Sunday. But moving on to another matchup, seeding at play for the San Francisco 49ers, trying to lock in that number two seed. And they're hosting the Arizona Cardinals, who, again, dead team, as we know. Players like DeAndre Hopkins probably played his last game there. It's going to be the J.J. Watt's final game in the NFL. Congratulations to him on an amazing career. But again, I want to hear from you guys, but right now San Francisco 14-point favorite, low total of 40.5. We'll go to you, Hitman, Niners, Cardinals. You have an interest in this one or another one that might not be on the agenda this weekend?
It's a good live betting game, potentially. The Niners are playing for the two seed and to get it over Minnesota, but Minnesota would have to win and the Niners would have to lose, and they're also playing for the one seed. But there's definitely a point in this game that you could see if the Eagles are winning by margin and the Niners know they're going to win. I mean, it's just very hard to see a motivation for them to get margin. And there could be a point live in the second half where they take out Christian McCaffrey and they take their foot off the gas in this game. So I think it's a good potential live betting opportunity. And I could only play Arizona because of the fact that if the Eagles do get up big, or then we could see the Niners potentially pull some guys in the second half. So lean to the Cardinals.
Definitely understand that. Again, that one seed at play. So obviously with that bye, home field, huge factors there. T.A., talk to me, Niners, Cardinals. You thinking about anything here?
No, I think Hitman, you know, really described it well. You know, just wait to see, you know, in-game. You're going to have to really track these games. But I, you know, it's not something that I'm interested in right now, pre-game. You know, just anything could happen. So I will sit this one out.
Totally understand that. Moving on to the Denver Broncos hosting Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers clinched that playoff spot. Broncos, they're hanging out with a 4-12 record and, as we know, a horrible season. This is, in terms of motivation, obviously there's nothing there for the Chargers. They might as well rest up and get ready to go for the postseason in the following weekend. And they open as 3-point favorites and has already come all the way down to Denver, now laying 2.5 points at Mile High. Total sitting 39.5. T.A., Broncos, Chargers, anything catching your eye on this one?
Yeah, so me and Hitman were talking about this before we recorded. The NFL came down with the scheduling for the Ravens and Bengals. That's a 1 o'clock game. Obviously, the Chargers, Denver, playing at 4:25, and the Chargers are they want that five seed, and they're currently tied with Baltimore, but they have the tiebreaker. So if Baltimore loses, then Chargers game is meaningless. They'll just sit everybody. If the Ravens win, then they're going to play hard because they want to, you know, that five seed's big. You either get to play the Jags or the Titans versus playing the Bengals likely if you're the sixth seed. So, you know, it's a pretty wide gap there. You go from essentially being favored on the road in the wild card round to, you know, maybe being 5-6 point underdogs or so, whatever it is against Cincinnati. So, you know, it's a pretty huge win probability swing. So playing this game, and, you know, obviously Brandon Staley in this front office is, you know, analytically inclined. So they're going to follow the numbers. I personally, the reason you saw, and that's why you saw the swing in this line, the line was 3, 3.5 before that news was announced, and then immediately started getting bet. I actually bet it in a money line parlay, as a correlated parlay with the Bengals, money line with the Broncos. I got a nice plus 223 price. That thing is gone right now because it's, again, the Broncos are either one or, you know, actually more like 2.5 point favorites. I think this line, if the so that this number is only weighing a probability that the Bengals win this game against Baltimore. So it's probably like a 70%, you know, win probability. This line would get to, in my opinion, if the Ravens lose. I think you'd see Chase Daniel start, and I think the Broncos would probably close like, what, Hitman 4.5, 5 point favorites, probably, yeah, in that ballpark, maybe even more, against all the backups for the Chargers. So, you know, this is, and the Chargers, if you remember, anyone who follows preseason, I mean, they were like, they played all their backups. They were like the worst preseason team you've ever seen. I mean, they were horrendous. So their backups are not very good, for whatever it's worth. So, you know, you could see this line really swing. So, you know, if you, I mean, I can make the case that if you just want to, like, you know, take a shot at taking Denver right here at under 3 and just kind of pray that the Bengals win, you can consider, you know, obviously you can do that. If you haven't taken it yet, you know, you can make that case. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of too late. I mean, on the field, there's really no, you know, the Broncos played harder last week, but who knows what they're going to, you know, come back and do in the last game of the year. So, you know, it's tough to make the case otherwise, but, you know, they don't have a first round pick too. So they're going to be motivated to play from an organizational standpoint. So, you know, at least from that perspective, we know there's no risk, but that's essentially how I played it. And like I said, I think you can, you know, don't love it, but if it's under 3, you can maybe take the risk that the Bengals went outright against Tyler Huntley. But that's the way I'm playing it.
Definitely understand. Great way to kind of put that in perspective. Thank you, TA. Hitman, Chargers, Broncos, how are you viewing it?
If you're playing the Broncos, you're parlaying it, and you better parlay it with the Bengals money line. Because if you don't parlay it with the Bengals money line, well, let's be honest, if the Ravens win, your bet on the Broncos is garbage. It's just complete garbage, and the line's going to move 5.5 points or 6 points the other way. So if you play the Broncos, you're putting it in that money line parlay with the Bengals. Also, if you like the Chargers, feel free to put them in a parlay with the Ravens money line. That's also another solid correlated play as well. But that's really the only way that you could play this game, in my opinion, is you're doing parlays. And every now and then I'll send a parlay to somebody like that I work with that just gets down. They don't know much about sports, about betting. And they'll say to me, like, oh, wow, why are we parlaying? You said never to parlay. You said parlays are for suckers. And I always have to say to them, I just say, yep, but when I parlay, you better freaking believe that it's a good play. So this is the rare time that you want to parlay, although 99% of the time you generally should be avoiding parlays.
Yeah, great point. Again, great perspective given on that for that little bit of correlation there, because it comes down to line value. And as we all do know, and now if you don't know, parlays, sucker bets, please ingrain that into your brain, unless Hitman tells you, you got to parlay it. But moving on, another game, negative implications here. Atlanta Falcons hosting the Buccaneers. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers clinched the South last week, 8-8. They're the 4 seed. They're not moving anywhere in the standings. And the Atlanta Falcons just trying to get more reps in for Desmond Ridder. But definitely interesting how Atlanta opened as 7-point favorites, and it's ticked all the way down to 4. Total open 38.5, up to 40.5. Hitman, Falcons, Bucks, anything here?
No, just another game where there's good live betting possibilities. Look to potentially live bet against Tampa when they inevitably do pull starters, because they're going to pull starters at some point in this game. It's just a matter of when they do it. So a game like that, a lot of opportunities to bet live is my advice towards everybody.
Keep an eye out for those live lines. TA, Falcons, Bucks, anything else popping out to you?
No, nothing at all. I mean, we saw the Falcons are not a team you trust laying over a field goal against anybody. I mean, we saw last week against David Blau and no DeAndre Hopkins. They barely squeaked out a win. So even if the Bucks play a lot of their backups, you know, it's hard to even trust Atlanta to cover a big number. But, you know, I'm also not trusting the Bucks here either with their backup. So, like, I just have no interest in this game. So I won't be on anything here.
Just another one of those games where, unless you're looking to live bet, certainly have this game on the TV. But if not, definitely can watch some of the better games happening on the slate. Moving on, the Washington Commanders, my guy, they fell last week, which unfortunately, based on some other wins last week, blew their chances of making the postseason. And now they're hosting the Dallas Cowboys. But Washington will be starting rookie Sam Howell, fifth-round pick out of the University of North Carolina. Going back, not last year when he was drafted, but 2 years ago, he was viewed as a potential first-round pick, but then another, I guess, mediocre season dropped into the fifth round. And yes, this is me trying to cope as a Washington fan. I hope we get a glimpse of some hope for potentially the future, but we're probably going to have to find another quarterback anyway. But the market has moved back and forth in this game with a lot of differences between, you know, who's going to start for the Commanders, how Dallas is going to approach this game. And right now we're sitting at a line of Dallas minus 7.5 in Washington, total of 41. TA, talk to me. Commanders, Cowboys, any interest here?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't going to do anything here, but now that it's over a touchdown, I would only look to Washington. I always like this, you know, again, this first game backup rookie boost at quarterback. Market completely overreacts. Like, what was this line? Wasn't it only like 4.5, 5 yes, when we thought that it was going to be Carson Wentz? So, I mean, to cut through a key number of 7 to 7.5, like, is Carson Wentz over anybody going to be worth, you know, essentially like 4 points here? That seems pretty egregious. So I think that's a little bit of overreaction. So I would look to Washington. I mean, yeah, they you know, lost out in the playoffs last week, but, you know, they still have good roster. Chase Young is trying to get back into shape. I don't think they're going to – I mean, you tell me, Eric. Are they going to sit anybody? I haven't heard anything from that perspective.
No, it would be very Ron Rivera to win this
right football. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and Dallas wants to win. But, again, if – you know, can they move up in seeding, or is this just for the NFC East?
It's for the one
– right. You know
what? Dallas is 12-4 right now. Philly 13-3. I don't know, the head-to-head is 1-1. I don't know about the divisional tiebreakers there that then come into play, the divisional records.
Yeah, it'd be well, anyway, if there is, I'll look it up, but if there is only, actually the Cowboys have the division record, so they would win the tiebreaker. So the only way I think that this really matters is division. And so if that's the case, if the Eagles are blowing out the Giants, you know, maybe they put their foot off the gas. Again, I don't want to speak out of turn because all these playoff scenarios are crazy. But if that's the only thing that's at stake here, and I think it is, because they would be the number one wild card. They wouldn't be able to jump San Francisco or Minnesota. So, yeah, this would only be for the NFC East. So if the Eagles are blowing out the Giants, then Dallas may not care about the second half of this game, and you get even better value. So, yeah, I think Washington is clearly the side here. I might actually take this when we get off the line, because it might be gone by the time I wake up in the morning. So I, even at 7, I'm okay with it, but 7.5 I think is a really good number here to take. Sam Howell, who played pretty good in preseason, right? I mean, you tell me. Mm-hmm. I'm not the expert with Washington. What I saw is a guy who took shots down the field. He can move the ball. He's got some mobility. Like, I think it's one of those things. And if he has a good drive or two, you know, the fans will be into it. Building on to next year, like, that's the type of underdog I like here in a week 18. So, yeah, I would look to the it's Washington or nothing.
Yeah, Washington Twitter and fans have been begging for Howell for the last couple of weeks, and now we'll finally get a chance to see what he plays. Did play decent in the preseason, but of course, again, was playing backup snaps against like the Panthers, some other teams' backups. So, hard to gauge, but Washington, again, will be playing their starters. Dallas, of course, like you said, definitely to start with the starters. But since the Eagles and the Cowboys game is at the same time, maybe it'll be tough to kind of see the scoreboard watching. But
you know what? Wait, mm-hmm. Now that I look at it, so the Washington game is at 4 o'clock Oh, yeah. So is the Giants. Okay. They're both at 425. Yeah. So at the same time, here's the other thing. Like, I mean, we saw Dallas was struggling against all the backups for Tennessee last week. Like, this is what, I mean, they struggled against Houston. They should have lost that game. This isn't a team that just blows out bad teams. So that's where the value is to me is Washington.
Except for that week three game where Washington got steamrolled by Dallas. But I guess that's before you could certainly tell with some confidence who is good, who is bad. But totally understand that Dallas plays with their food here. Hitman, you like Washington looking here? Or are you viewing this kind of similarly to maybe a live bet angle? What do you think about Dallas, Washington, Hitman?
Like the potential live bet angle, but the only steer of caution that I'll give on Washington is, I know TA, you mentioned that the difference between Howell and Wentz isn't what the market implied today. And I completely agree with that. I mean, Sam Howell looked, I watched him in the preseason. He looked really good. So I can see why the fans have been wanting to see him, but Rivera did say that he's potentially open towards some other veterans not playing or not playing as much in this game also. So I think that that was more than the Carson Wentz. I mean, at least logically, or the difference between Hal and Wentz or Heinicke isn't warranted for the line move. But I did think that maybe that had something to do with why it just moved so much today, because this got down to 3.5 at one point earlier in the week. So I thought that that was a little noteworthy from Rivera.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about that is, at least if it's younger guys, I know they're going to play hard, right? So there's zero motivation. So maybe the talent might not be as great, who knows? But I actually don't mind that. Like, give me young guys who are going to – are playing for their careers, and this is their first crack at it. You know, like, that's not – to me, that's not a huge negative. It's a more of a perception negative than, I think, reality. So I actually don't mind that versus, you know, a bunch of veterans who you never know if they're going to play hard in a game like this. So that'll be interesting, but I think it's definitely worth a look with Washington.
Yeah, certainly agree with you there, T.I., and definitely like that little bit of devil's advocate from you there, Hitman. So a lot to look forward to for the Commanders as we're, you know, hopefully if we take a loss, we'll get a better draft pick. So kind of a win-win here, or we'll feel good about ourselves with Sam Howell moving forward. So I will unfortunately be watching that football game, and we'll see how that goes down. Moving on to another matchup that could have been the game of the weekend potentially, but unfortunately because the Panthers could not hold on or come back, hold on the first half, then come back to beat the Buccaneers. Another game with not too much going on here, but the New Orleans Saints hosting the Carolina Panthers. Saints right now 3.5 point favorites, excuse me, total sitting at 41.5. T.I., any betting interest in the Saints Panthers?
Not much. You know, I think both teams are pretty even. The Saints have, you know, again, been underrated. It's too bad they've had this late season run just a couple weeks too late. You know, if they would have beaten Tampa on that Monday night, which they should have, they didn't blow the end of that game. If Mark Ingram doesn't go out of bounds, you know, they got a shot at the division. So it's too bad because, they could have made the playoffs. I actually thought that they could have made some noise in the playoffs because they're playing really well. It's just hard for them to win with margin. I had them against Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and you know Carolina's a better team than Atlanta, and they just couldn't pull away. I think they won by 3. So you know you could see a similar game here. I'm not going to play it because I just don't know, you know, if the Saints can pull away, but they've been playing so well lately. I also don't want to fade them, so I'm just going to stay away for now.
Totally understand. Hitman, Saints, Panthers. Anything from you?
I don't got much. I think both teams are going to play hard. Saints have been playing their best ball. Panthers are playing to keep Wilkes as the head coach. But I don't got much in this game. Just going to root for the Saints and hope some regular season wins that I thought were dead come back to life.
Yep, still some rooting interest for those who bet some even during the season or preseason team win totals. Before we get into the final three matchups, wanted to tell everybody, if you're looking for more NFL content over on YouTube, you can check out the Forward Progress channel. We have tons of NFL content, including UFC commentator John Anik and his twin brother Jason on a show called Anik Square, where they break down some games, a future competition with the Pat Mayo Experience crew, and more. We also have the Anytime Touchdown show. We give our live favorite best anytime touchdown bets. the Pizza Buffet hosted by Rob Pizzola, where he takes a look to see if there's any value left on the board before the slate kicks off on Sunday. And our flagship show is Forward Progress as well, with Rob and Clive breaking down and predicting the lines for the upcoming week, which next week will be for Wild Card Weekend. So definitely, if you are interested in the content, over on YouTube, the Forward Progress channel, and on Twitter at Forward NFL. Again, give us a follow on Twitter. Give us a subscribe to us on YouTube. Like the videos, comment. We appreciate it. Helps us grow our brand. Moving on, Buffalo Bills hosting the New England Patriots. Now, of course, a lot up in the air. Don't need to go into it, but what we do know is the New England Patriots would love to win this football game for their own sake. Right now, Buffalo is a 7-point favorite at home, total 42.5. And as we've talked about on the show in the past, when these teams did meet up also earlier in the season, we had this conversation. The Patriots have not played the Bills well whatsoever. Besides that wind game that was at the end of last season, the other times they've played, the Buffalo Bills have had their way with the Patriots. Seeding will be in play here for Buffalo. And again, the Patriots are going to make a playoff spot, a playoff push. So definitely things on the line here. We'll go to you first, Hitman. Bills, Patriots. Any way to kind of view this one?
I don't know. We don't even know when this game is going to be played, what time it will be, and that could have some implications on motivation, potentially. So I don't know. And then you don't know Buffalo. You know, they own New England, so initially you're like, all right, I'd like to maybe play Buffalo, especially in a teaser. But there's also variance with Buffalo. You just don't know how they're going to show up this week and what their mentality is going to be. So it's a pass for me.
Variance, unprecedented circumstances. Totally understand. TA, anything here or kind of in the same boat?
Yeah, I have nothing. I mean, hard to even talk about it, but just you don't even know how Buffalo is going to show up mentally and kind of what all this week is going to do to them one way or another. And, you know, I just don't trust Mac Jones on the road against anybody right now. So, I'm not looking to do anything here right now.
Totally understandable. Moving on to, again, one of the other teams involved in that unfortunate event Monday night, but a division title on the line between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, Cincinnati laying 7, off an opener of 6, so it seems to be in Cincinnati's direction a little bit. Total sitting 42, 41.5. We'll go to UTA. Besides, obviously, that parlay that you mentioned with the Broncos, is there any other way you're viewing this Ravens-Bengals game?
No. Parlay, it was the only thing that I've got on this. Again, there's so many unknowns and, you know, the mental state of both, you know, the Bengals and the Bills. I actually saw a note right before we were on about how, you know, Joe Burrow supposedly talked to some of the teammates of the Bengals, and a bunch of guys were thinking about, you know, they weren't even sure if they wanted to play this game, you know. So there's a lot of things that are kind of at that you just don't know about. Going into this game, and it's going to be hard for them to prepare. So I like them to win, but, you know, from a number perspective, I wouldn't lay it here. It's just too many unknowns. But I also, you know, I think I haven't seen anything with Lamar Jackson. He hasn't practiced. He didn't practice today. So I doubt he's going to play in this game at this point. Sounds like it would be a miracle. Maybe they're just holding off till the playoffs. Tyler Huntley just hasn't done anything to show that he can score enough to win a game on the road like this. So, to me, like, I think the money line parlay is probably the best route.
Yeah, that Ravens offense with or without Lamar Jackson is completely broken. But another interesting, I guess, storyline for just this game and moving forward is if Lamar Jackson, of course, with that knee injury, he's not under contract, so he might not want to play for his own chickens, as Marshawn Lynch would say. He wants to make sure he gets that bag before he kind of goes out there. Hitman, what do you think for starters, if Lamar, do you think, is not even for this game, but moving forward, you think he might have played his last snap as a Raven for this season, or is it more precautionary, and how does that kind of view your or kind of impact your view of this Bengals-Ravens game?
I don't think Lamar is going to play in this game, just from capping the Twitter searching and reading the beat writers and all that. I don't think he's going to be in. So if I had to play this game now, I'd play Cincinnati. Ravens passing game is just so pathetic that it's hard to see them. If the Bengals do get up a one score, two scores. I don't know how the Ravens throw themselves back in the games. So to me, it's a lean towards the Bengals.
Yeah, offensive coordinator for the Ravens, Greg Roman, may be looking for a new job because he hasn't been doing so well for not just this season, for the past couple of years with that Ravens passing game. Moving on to the last game on the slate, Chicago Bears hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Fields will not be playing in this game, meaning there will be no new QB rushing record as Fields was close to that mark, but he'll be sitting on the sideline here. Minnesota Vikings right now laying 7.5 on the road in Chicago. That opened actually at 2, and for, I guess, a variety of factors, that line was pushed up because I know Justin Fields is not worth 5.5 points to the spread unless you guys tell me otherwise. Total, again, 47. Opener dropped all the way down to 43. Hitman, Vikings, Bears, anything for you from even a prop perspective here?
There's not even going to be props probably. Well, you know what? Maybe there'll be some Chicago guy props like Nathan Peterman or something, but I don't know if we're going to see Minnesota props because we just don't know if they're going to play their starters the full game. And I know O'Connell was kind of talking about that he may, but then he said like we might manage some guys. I'm not fully sold that they're playing guys. So if you're going to give me this many points at home, I could only play Chicago, and I might potentially play Chicago if I get a better feel for what Minnesota does. But this line seems to be fully accounting for, oh, Minnesota's going to go for it, and they're going to play their guys the whole game. But I don't think it's close to a certainty that they're going to. So for me, haven't bet it yet, but Chicago is the way I'm looking.
Totally understand that. TA, Bears-Vikings. You like in Chicago as well, or how are you viewing this matchup?
No, I don't like anything. I might look at the over a little bit. You know, we've talked about how bad the Chicago defense has been. I'm sure the backups aren't any better. And Nick Mullins, if he plays, Nick Mullins has proven he can move the ball and can score. So, you know, I think he can do some things even with some of the backups. But otherwise, I don't really see anything here. Again, I don't know what anybody is doing. I don't know. I don't trust that Minnesota's going to play all their starters. And yeah, I would never lay it with Minnesota at this point. And a lot of people took it early when it was under 3 at the open. At this point, you can't lay 7.5. Even if you think the Bears are tanking, they're at home, it's outdoors. They don't have to win. They could just lose by less than 7.5. Just because you're tanking doesn't mean you get blown out all the time. So, nothing for me on this. Maybe look to the over because I think that Nick Mullins can at least get the ball down the field against a bad defense and even against, you know, these young defenders of the Bears. But that's about it.
Totally understand that there. And that's going to wrap it up for the last edge rush of the NFL season. We made it 18 weeks strong. I know I hopped in a little bit late, but I really appreciate all the listeners who stuck by, TA, Hitman, and myself for this entire time. Just one quick last thing before we go for the rest of the season. Of course, playoffs are here. TA, right now, best guess for Super Bowl winner. Who you got?
Oh, boy, put me on the spot. I think the Bills. I would have said the Bills from the beginning. I think, you know, again, not to use it. I mean, I think this is going to be this what they saw this week is just going to be extra motivation. Like, it's one of those destiny things. So I'm going to go with the Bills. I think that they've got the best overall team. I trust Josh Allen the most. And I think that, you know, they're gonna have the whole country behind them at this rate. So I think that's all kind of positive for Buffalo here.
Definitely understand. Hitman, you're not getting off that easy. Talk to me, Super Bowl. Anybody you're thinking?
Buffalo 31, San Francisco 24. That's going to be the final score. So play your exactas right now at whatever insane odds that they give out. That's going to be the final score. That's going to be
how about Buffalo versus the Giants? Giants getting all the way to Super Bowl. Team of destiny, right?
don't say that to me because it's funny. I know I'm friends with a big Jets fan who hates Daniel Jones and tells me like he's not better than Taylor Heineke and Jacoby Brissett, which I'm telling him like, all right, like that's a little ridiculous. And then I know another Giants fan that's telling me that he's better than Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins and he's a top 10 quarterback. So on one hand, I have a guy saying I'm a Daniel Jones apologist. And then on the other, I have a guy saying I'm a Daniel Jones hater. So,
well, Well, I'm biased too, because Hitman knows from day one, I've been talking about the Giants preseason as my favorite future. So I won their over, won their alternate over. I've got 50-1 from the preseason to win the NFC. So that, I'm just being facetious. They're not going to get there, but that's my long shot ticket that I'm praying for. So, I mean, Daniel Jones has been really good. So, you know, maybe they got a lucky run in them. They could definitely beat Minnesota if that's a first round opponent. Like, that's not going to be like, I mean, they could have won 2 weeks ago in Minnesota. So easy to do that again, potentially. And then you never know after that. All these NFC teams have holes. So that's my rooting interest.
I'm going to tell everyone, go back on my Twitter and you'll find in February, like the end of February, it might have been middle of February, something like that. I tweeted that I already made my first NFL bet, and it was the Vikings at 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. And that was at the time where I thought they might get Jim Harbaugh. And I always thought they had a good roster with Jefferson and Thielen and Cook and all that. So that was the first bet I made. You know, it's looking better. It's better than 50-1 right now. I might have the worst 12-4 team of all time, but they're 12-4. So it has some life at least.
That's hilarious. For me, preseason, I had Bills beating the Eagles, and this was before any of the season started, even the preseason. So I'm just going to stick with that. Bills beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl. But again, we want to thank all listeners out there. Please, on the podcast platforms, leave a review, a like, and download the pod. The best way to help us grow for more NFL content throughout the postseason. Follow us on Twitter at The Hammer HQ, on YouTube at The Hammer HQ, also on Twitter at Forward NFL for Forward Progress, our football division of the Hammer Betting Network. You can also find Forward Progress on YouTube. For everybody at the Hammer Betting Network, thank you so much. On behalf of myself, TA, and Hitman, we appreciate you. Thank you. Best of luck with your bets this weekend.